Hello everyone, welcome to the Talking Biz Tech. I'm your host Lakeith, and today we are going to explore business loans with Elizabeth Cannon. But before we do that, I just want to make a special shout out to the content studio All Innovative Production, AI Production in short, which is a content studio that produces audio and video content. So if you want to know more about them, my website's URL is down in the description box. Now back to the topic. So everybody wants to know what is business loan and how it can help individuals and small businesses. A business loan is any type of financing that needs that used to fund business expenses, from paying staff wages to purchasing inventory. It involves the creation of a debt, which will be repaid with added interest. Business loans are available through banks, credit unions, and online vendors. So if you have your business, then your business will typically need to be at least 6 months old, and your business should be able to bring over $50,000 a year to qualify. Other factors like your personal credit score and relationship with the lender will also play a role. There are types of business loans that are business loans are term loans, small business administration loans, and line of credits, equipments, and vehicle financing, short-term business loan, and etc. So my guest for today's episode is Elizabeth Cannon, who is the CEO and founder of Zena Financial Services, LLC. So let me just go ahead and bring her on Talking Biz Tech. Hi, Elizabeth.
Hey, Sakif, how's it going?
Good, and how are you, ma'am?
I am doing fabulous. It's good to see you.
Oh, the same here. It's great to see you, and you're always a valuable guest. I mean, especially when I want to educate my viewers about the financial resources. That's where I always need you. So I want to thank you for coming to the show for the second time, and Elizabeth, before we dive into the business loan, I just want to know a little bit about you, and also, like I mentioned, since this is your second time on the show, can you like tell me about yourself and your background? Like, because last time you mentioned about your educational background, where you have a master's degree in therapeutical studies, is that correct?
That is correct. Yes.
Perfect. Yeah. So, yeah. Oh, yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
Okay. Yeah, no, thank you so much. So a little bit about me. So like you mentioned, I am the owner and founder of Zena Financial Services. We're a commercial finance brokerage based out of Chula Vista, California. So your neighbor to the south. Hello. And, so we do a lot of the loan types that you mentioned. I'm really impressed, I have to say, Sakif, you did your homework. So we do mainly equipment financing. We also do lines of credit and some other, small business loans. But I've been in business. Actually, Zena just celebrated its fourth birthday a couple days ago on April 20th. Wow. Yeah. So it's been a bit. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. I'm super excited about it. I just, 4 years ago, I would have never dreamed that I would have gotten this far. But I've been in the broker world, I guess, for about 5 or 6 years now, before going on my own. I think it was a year or two. Prior to that, I was in commercial finance. I worked for some equipment financers, some direct lenders, some of the biggest names in the game, like GE Capital and, a couple others. And then before that, it was mostly like, it was still involved in equipment financing, but I was more like in an administrative slash operations role where I was, you know, more working on like funding and documentation. And then before that, I worked in the fraud department of a credit card bank. So yeah, I never really, I remember when I was in college wondering, like, what am I going to do with my life? Everyone else seemed to know what they wanted to be when they grew up. And I had no clue. And I just kind of fell into financial services and just kind of stayed with it, but really by no decision of my own. It was just kind of like, I ended up here. Okay, this is a job. Well, this is cool. Let me check it out. And then it just, one thing led to the next, led to the next. So yeah, I've been in the financial services game for over 20 years at this point.
Whoa.
I'm old. I know.
Old, but wise and experienced. Right. This is great. You've been in the game, the financial service industry game for 20 years. I feel like it's more important right now than ever, especially when we are hit by inflation and a lot of people are looking ways to make money, save as well as save money. I'm very curious to know, like, how does your day go? So so my question to you is, what does a typical day look like for you?
Sure. So, you know, I wake up every morning with the best intentions to organize my day. And I really probably should get better at this. You know, I have the intention to wake up, you know, like start working, you know, work on administrative things, and then do, you know, for 2 hours and another 3 hours of sales generating things, and then wrap it up with more like administrative things and stuff like that. But, you know, lately it's been more of, I'm super blessed to say that we've gotten a lot busier. COVID kind of put a damper on business for you know, the last 2 years. So things are picking up. So lately I come in and I just kind of start working on files. So what I do, like either myself or someone on my team will send in a file, and, you know, a file has several components. I do have to, like, I have to pull their credit. I do a soft pull. And then I look at things like bank statements and tax returns and maybe a couple other things. I research how long they've been in business. You know, is it a legitimate company? That's my fraud background kicking in there. But anyways, you know, make sure everything looks to be compliant, and just to see, will any of my lenders be interested in this? You know, whether it's a line of credit or if it's equipment, is this equipment that we can finance? So there's a lot of different factors that I look at, but it's basically a very high level underwrite that I do. And then I essentially, I like to kind of call myself, I'm like a matchmaker for business owners and lenders. So instead of romantic matchmaking, I find you the best bank that, you know, finances what you want with the terms that are within, you know, your specified range. So it's basically lately I've been just, yeah, doing a lot of underwriting and trying to find the best lender for, you know, our applicants, you know, needs. So that's really what it is. And then, yeah, just following up, I spend a great amount of time chasing documents, believe it or not. You know, we're pretty clear about what we need up front. You know, we need an application, last 3 months bank statements, and, you know, I'd say half the time people don't send us everything. So I'm like, and what about that March bank statement? And what about that April bank statement? And what about, so there is like a cat and mouse element to it. But yeah, lately it's just been, you know, a lot of like underwriting work that I've been doing.
Wow. That is impressive. I appreciate how you're spending your time, and yeah, you're arranging business dates, and that's actually like being a matchmaker and all.
yeah, that's the best way I can describe it.
if I do look at marriage and relationship as a business, right?
It is
a business, right? Yeah. and that's what it is, like, it's becoming even more with companies like Zeus or thematch.com or there's another one, Singles in the City.
You would know, not me.
It's a very popular company in Canada. It is a business itself. So like,
business.
But I'm glad that how you're being a matchmaker between a lender and a business owner, and that's we're gonna explore that even more down later on in the further in the podcast. One thing I wanted to point out to you is that your videos are very educational, especially the ones that you're making recently.
Thank you.
You're very welcome, man. And so, so these videos, they have subtitles, which is easy for me because a lot of things, some parts of the video, if I don't understand, I can look at read the subtitles and carefully, and then I can do research on it. I do want to know, are these podcasts or vlogs that you're doing, or can you talk more about these videos that you're currently doing?
So I really don't know how I would classify them. I guess what my initial focus is right now is to answer the questions that I get asked the most, because I feel like that is, I would say maybe they're like educational videos, but it's basically answering those most commonly asked questions because, number one, I might be a little sick of repeating myself. Oh, you want to know? Check this video out, you know. But other than that, if one person has the question, then other people have the question. And so, YouTube, I recently just discovered, and you probably already knew this, but YouTube is basically one giant search engine. So, I don't know how many things you figured out using YouTube. Me, I figured out how to build a website. It wasn't great, but I did it all using, YouTube videos to show me the way. So I figure someone out there might be wondering like, okay, I'm looking to buy, maybe you've seen my startup trucking series, and we get a lot of applicants in that space. And, maybe they've gone to their bank and got declined because the bank doesn't work with startups. They want, a certain amount of time in business. And so they're probably like scratching their head, like, well, gosh, will anyone finance me? So they turn to the web and they start, Googling it, or maybe going to YouTube, and lo and behold, my video pops up. And, another big part of it has been for lead generation. And I can't tell you how effective it's been. We have gotten some leads from the video. And actually, I just got one again last night. And I love it because I break it out and I spell it out. This is what you need to apply for a startup truck loan. And these people are not only like applying, but they're giving me the story. They're answering the questions that I say they're going to need to answer, and they're providing me the documentation right up front because I already told them in the video. So they're like, oh, hey, saw your video. Here's my banks. Here's this, here's that. And I'm like, mind blown. Can you imagine? So, I don't know if I would call them, podcasts. I guess they're more like educational marketing tools, if you will.
Perfect. Perfect. Yeah. Cause I'm also trying to make videos like that as well. Like solution-based videos on climate change, that can help, individuals, tackle this weather disaster, I guess. If that's how you, describe it. And I'm like, even though I feel like there are a lot of videos already, as in the climate change video. So that's why I need to make sure that how unique I can be. One of your video has shows the credit union in United States. So I'm just want to educate my viewers about and you as well for the for the number of credit unions there are in Canada. So it's actually I did my research. According to my research, it's like 231 credit unions in Canada. Wow. And there are over 9 million members in these credit unions, and it'll increase even more. And also I just want to touch base with you, because in one of your video you talk about different credit unions in the States. So I just want to mention to you some of the largest credit union in Canada, which is Coast Capital Saving Credit Union. There's Meridian. Desjardins is one. Desjardins is a very popular insurance company, but then they have their own credit union. And then there's Prospera Credit Union. Let me point out some of the facts that I have extracted or have. I did some of my homework as. The largest credit union in Canada would be the Coast Capital Savings, which is one of the most federally regulated, and also the Citizen United Banks. Like Coast Capital Savings has more than 535,000 members, and the headquarter is located in British Columbia, and the financial cooperative is where the rate of interest for the loan is lower. The rate is lower comparing to any banks. My next question to you is, what are the pros and cons of startup business loans or any entrepreneurs taking business entrepreneurs small business owners taking business loans? So what are the pros and cons for that?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I guess let me preface this with, a business loan might not be in every new, business owner's best interest. So exactly. I guess we'll move that maybe to a con, but the pros is okay. Well, and of course I can only speak for the United States. So I, might work similar in Canada. I don't, don't quote me on this, but so the pros are, there is a certain amount of risk that goes into, starting a business. And if you take a loan, you are taking a bank's, money, and you are going to use that to start the business. So, a lot of times you don't want to use your own money, like if you are starting something and let's say you liquidate your retirement, your life savings, everything, and for whatever reason, unfortunately, the business doesn't work out, then you're lost, so, and I guess you can go back and earn all that money again, but who knows what the circumstances will be. So, one thing I hear in business is like, never risk your own money. So that would be a pro. Another pro is when you do use someone else's money, like you mentioned before, there is going to be interest on that money. And down here, the interest, on loans for businesses is a tax write-off. So a lot of times by the time you take the effective tax rate, and again, let me just say this again, I'm not a tax professional, okay? And check with your CPA. I'm just speaking in general terms. But, so that business interest is going to be tax deductible. And depending on what your effective tax rate is and what the rate on the loan is, sometimes the money ends up being free by the time everything is, so it kind of is a no-brainer. You're taking the risk off of you personally, and also you have a write-off there. The other thing, another pro I would say would be, maybe you can get approved for more than you actually would have if you're trying to, you know, just use your own resources. So there might be a little bit more capital available there. So I guess, yeah, to name it off, you know, you're taking the risk off of yourself, you're giving yourself a write-off, and also, you know, that's more capital. So I guess that would be three pros. Now, three cons, well, I don't know if it's going to be three, but, you know, so some cons would be, like I mentioned before, you know, it's not suitable for everyone. A big example that I get that it's not suitable would be, I get a lot of people call me with inventions, you know, they have an idea. Mm-hmm. And that's awesome, right? But a lot of times they're just kind of, you know, they haven't actually done the market research. They haven't, you know, they haven't, you know, gone out and seen if this is like a product that people would use, let alone pay for. And so it's a big risk that you're taking when you're going to take, let's just say $50,000, $100,000, and you put it into this product, and then you don't have a market for it because you didn't do your due diligence. You know, another thing would be if you are starting like a, you know, service-based business, you might not even need to, because, you know, for a lot of services, what do you need? You just need like a computer and, or, you know what I mean? Like, as long as you can access the web. So if it's like a service-based business, you know, you might not need to, it might be nice to have some capital there, but I really think you should kind of see how it goes and just bootstrap it until, you know, a need is identified. And then, you know, another thing would be, man, I just had this thought and it just came and left my brain, but, yeah. Oh, I hate when that happens. Oh yeah. So, but you know, like, and again, like if you're going to sell like another comp, okay, you want to sell goods, right? Like, so you have like actual like inventory. So you want to get a loan for that. Mm-hmm. I really think you should start small once again, you know, see what that looks like before you go getting yourself into, because the thing about business loans here in the States is, you know, you'll apply for it. It'll show an inquiry on your credit report that you applied for it. It should not be showing on your credit report as, you know, like with your personal credit, like if you have like an auto loan or something, I mean, it shouldn't count against your debt to income ratio. It should not show up on your report unless you default. But if you default, it's going to come rolling over your credit report, you know, and it's going to mess up a lot of things, and it might, you know, ruin your chances of being able to, you know, get good interest rates on personal things such as car loans or mortgages or something like that. So I think those are some pros and cons that I can think of right off the top of my head.
Oh, you know what? It's very valuable, and thank you so much for sharing the pros and cons. I hope it'll help the viewers as well. So my next question to you, to you is, what is the relationship between credit scores and borrowing business loans? Like, any help? Do you know any or any helpful websites or apps where you can check your credit scores?
Yeah. Okay. So the first part of your question, there is a huge relationship between, you know, your credit score and whether or not you can apply for a business loan. Again, you know, banks at the end of the day are all about risk assessment. And so if they see, you know, several things, like maybe you have entered into loans and you've defaulted, that's obviously going to be a huge red flag. Or, you know, something I run into quite often is someone will have good credit, but they don't have comparable credit. So, you know, if you've had one credit card your entire life with like a $1,500 credit limit, but now you need $50,000, you know, they're going to be looking like, well, you know, she's never actually managed that amount of debt before, so we're not really sure if she can, you know, so that's a huge part of it. You know, and your credit score is going to reflect that. So here in the States, I would say a good credit score starts at 680. Obviously 700 and above is good. We can work with lower credits, but of course, it's going to be reflected in the term, meaning the amount of time the lender will be comfortable with you paying back. So a shorter term for you, because they want to mitigate the amount of time that they're going to you know, have their money out there. And then also the rate, you know, the rate that they're approved at. One thing that your viewers should always keep in mind is the bank will never lose. All right. They're always going to get their money no matter what questions you're, I want a low rate. I want a no penalty payoff, whatever. The bank is never going to put it in a position where you got the money for free. It's not happening. Okay. So moving on to the next part of your question, helpful apps. Now I know that I had brought up like Credit Karma and Credit Sesame. I had a guest on my channel and, he's part of the group on Facebook. You know him, Steve Super. Yeah. He actually made me aware to something that, I guess I knew, but I didn't really like think about it in these terms, but Credit Karma, Credit Sesame and the like, they're marketing tools. All right. So they will give you a snapshot of, you know, it's good to see like what your trade lines are, maybe a roundabout, you know, what your credit score is, but they truly are. I don't know if, you know, you use them, but it's like, oh, look, Elizabeth, this card looks perfect for you. You know, like you're pre-approved. Great news for you. You know, so they're really trying to sell credit cards and they do get some kind of compensation when you do apply for those. I don't know what that looks like. So he told me about a site called My Credit IQ, and that is the accurate place to go. That's what he uses for his credit repair company. And so that would be my suggestion. You know, I mean, if you just want to get like an idea, or maybe you do, maybe you are in the market for a new card or like car loan or mortgage or something, maybe that'll help you. But My Credit IQ is going to be your actual accurate credit score. And I'm sure they have an app. I'm not sure though.
But yeah, thank you so much for sharing that knowledge, they're very helpful to me. And just a quick question: is that how you spell it? My Credit IQ.
Yes. Right? Yeah, My Credit IQ. Yeah, I think it's if you just start typing that in, it should come up on your browser.
Perfect. Yeah. So another useful tip. Thank you again, and also Elizabeth. As I was doing my research, I did find some shocking facts about business loans. So I'm just it might not be shocking to you, but it might be it can be shocking to my viewers. So I'm just going to share it if it's okay with you. So so number one would be the that. Business loans stimulate growth and production. So like when time comes to invest in a resource, in a new resource, small business loan can help you stimulate production and growth. Also, another one is the information. So bank requires a lot of information. It's actually a large volume of information about an applicant business, and then there's personal finance matters. The bank wants to know the financial history and the additional financial information, that the credit history, card balance, the record of on-time payment, document list of all asset and liabilities. Another one would be that there's no hard and fast rules. So if you're taking like if you're already in a debt and you're taking another bank loan, so that'll take time to get approved. Digital bridge, you touched a little bit about it, like being a matchmaker for business owners and lenders. So lenders have created this digital bridge between the business owners and business loan products. And maybe we can discuss about the business loan products in a separate podcast if we decide to do it again. And another benefit is the online calculator, which provides instant loan estimates. A loan application can be completed and submitted in a matter of minutes. Sophisticated web-based technology that helps accelerate the credit decision process. And so these are some of the shocking facts that I have I've researched about business loans. And in business, Elizabeth, nothing is guaranteed. And actually, I do have a question for that. I mean, I do want to know from you about the good versus bad debt. You know, like bad, like a lot of people, such as myself, think that taking a loan is bad, it's risky. But then there's a thing called good debt. And I just want to know, how do you, like, what is a good debt to you? And how can you generate money from a debt?
Gotcha. Yes. So, you know, I actually recently came to the conclusion, you know, well, not the, like, I learned that, you know, like here in the United States, our attitude towards debt and stuff like that is different than other countries. And actually, you know how I learned about it was from that Netflix, oh my gosh, the guy who like scammed those girls. Yeah, oh God, like the millionaire catfish, or I can't remember the name of the, but it's on Netflix right now. But I didn't realize like in Europe, like taking credit is something completely different, you know, from like the United States and maybe Canada too. But here, you know, in the United States, it's like I was mentioning before, we have that thing about comparable, you know, credit. So in order to get credit, you know, it's kind of like when you're applying for a job and it's like entry level, but they want 10 years experience. It's kind of the same idea, right? So we won't give this to you until we've seen you do it before, but if no one will give you a chance, you can't really do it. So it's kind of, it's something that you have to work your way up to, you know, start with smaller cards and keep, and it takes time to build a credit report. I mean, anyone that says they can like give you a beautiful credit report in 6 months, I mean, they're full of you know what, okay? And that's the way it is, okay? Yeah. But as far as like, so good debt here in the United States would be things that, you know, well, number one, build your credit, maybe like a secured credit card or something like that. You actually send the bank a check or whatever, you know, and it helps build your credit. So that's good. But other good debt would be, you know, mortgage, because you can write off the mortgage interest and, you know, homes here, they tend to appreciate by a lot. You know, it's very rare that you're going to sit in a home for many years and you're not going to make money when you sell it. So that's good debt. It helps you make money. You know, bad debt would be anything that, you know, you're using to try to fund a lifestyle that you can't actually afford. So, you know, good debt to me, like in business or, you know, personal is a bridge to more money. So good debt is debt that you take to make more money. Bad debt would be, you know, something that you would take to try to meet your obligations or fund a lifestyle that you truly can't afford. So to me, that is good debt, bad debt. Was there another part of that question that I'm missing?
So like I wanted to know how do you generate money from a good debt? So
oh, okay.
If yeah. you can give an example.
That yeah. So, you know, like in the personal side, I would say, you know, a mortgage, you know, you will probably make money. I mean, especially down here over the past couple of years, I mean, all across the United States, home values have just been skyrocketing and, you know, homes are selling for prices that we just would have never imagined. So, I mean, that can be good. In terms of business, I would say, you know, again, anything that you take that's going to generate money, a big one would be equipment, like equipment financing, right? So you take a loan for equipment, say it's a truck or a CNC machine or, you know, something that can help you do work to generate business. A big one that we do down here are, we do a lot of med spa equipment. So, you know, if you ever know anyone who goes in, get like work done, one of those machines, you know, they sell for like $275,000, but the person who, you know, buys that machine with the, of course, with competence, but in general, they can expect to make between $40,000 to $60,000 a month in revenue from that machine. Wow. So when you look at what the monthly payment is versus what their anticipated revenue will be, it's kind of a no-brainer whether you have that payment or not. And let's face it, who has $275,000 to buy a piece of equipment. I mean, it's much easier to spread that obligation, and it helps keep your cash flow, in check, because, you know, maybe you do have $275,000, but, you know, I can't tell you how many people do this, and it, like, I feel so bad every single time, but they will pay cash, and then something will happen, like, you know, whatever, and then they're trying to meet payroll, and they don't have the money. And so then they're like, well, can't I, like, you know, like, get some money out of this machine? And the truth is you can, but it's very specific situations. Mm-hmm. And so 9 times out of 10, the answer is no. That would be another thing. If you get like a line of credit or something to, you know, hire employees, obviously the hope when you hire an employee is that they're going to generate revenue for you somehow, right? Whether they're selling, or maybe they're doing your books, they're streamlining a process. So maybe they're not making you money, but they're saving you money. So, you know, anything that's any loan that you go into that's going to help generate money for your business is good debt.
Oh, wow. Thank you. Thank you so much for
this long-winded answer, but
no, but it is very helpful, and you know, in order to describe it, usually it has to be long. So, but you know, it is very. I mean, the answers have insights, and I hope it'll benefit the viewers too, because everybody's not a lot of people are not aware of the good debt. Right, so we are all concerned and worried about the bad debt, right? And so, Elizabeth, we're near the end of our show, of my show, and I do have one last question for you, and basically, I just want your advice. So, what advice do you have for a startup or a business, a small business owners? If they want to take a loan for their business?
Yeah. So kind of like I was like speaking about before, before you take any kind of loan for a business, just make sure that, you know, you've done your homework, you've done your research. You know, whether that's, you know, market research to make sure what you're taking the loan for is actually, you know, gonna be feasible. And also, you know, feel free to shop around. I know it's a little difficult with startup financing because, you know, a lot of lenders won't entertain that. Kind of like you were talking about credit unions. I mean, they're unfortunately not going to do it. 9 times out of 10, you will have to turn to either the SBA or, you know, alternative financing, someone like me to help you out. But yeah, that, you know, just make sure before you take a loan out that you are going to have to pay back, you know, make sure you've got a plan. And I just posted a video about this yesterday, but there are some questions that you should ask yourself before you go into business, before you take on any debt. Mm-hmm. You know, nothing is guaranteed. Nothing in life is guaranteed. Things exactly. happen. But at least if you have a plan and you can, you know, answer these questions about like, how is this loan going to make me money? Then that's a great place to get started. And at that point, you know, nothing is risk-free. So you got to just, are you going to do it or aren't you? You know, I mean, it's a risk, but you know, if you've done the research, you'll feel a lot better about it and it'll probably work out better for you.
Yeah, exactly. So no, to sum it all up, knowledge is power.
Always. Yes.
thank you so much, Elizabeth, for coming to Talking BizTech, sharing your knowledge and your valuable insight. Like always, I would love to have you on Talking BizTech again. And I mentioned in the start of the show, like, you are a valuable guest because I always I need your help to educate my viewers on financial resources.
I'm here for you.
And yeah, thank you so much for your backup. Ma'am, thank you so much again, and have a wonderful day. You can I will turn off your screen, but you can still stay there and stream here. We'll talk more and and have
thanks a again. It was a pleasure as always.
Oh, thank you. You're very welcome. And have a wonderful day.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
So folks, thank you again for tuning in to Talking BizTech. Do not forget to subscribe, hit the notification bell for more podcasts like this as I make a monthly podcast. Have a wonderful day and stay safe. Bye for now.